Book of Ephesians. Please stand in reverence to the reading of God's Word, 6th chapter, verse number 1. Begin reading. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment, with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, again thanking you for the Bible, the Word of God. Thank you for these wonderful instructions you've given us here, Lord. And Lord, they're not only suggestions, Father, but they're commandments of yours. And I thank you for them. Ask you, God, to help this preacher tonight as he preaches that the will of God will be done. You'll fill me with thy Holy Spirit and use me to be a blessing to this people. And we'll thank and praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I think it was a week ago, last Sunday, before we had our youth revival last Sunday. Week before that, we preached a message concerning marriage and just a general message that kind of was designed to help marriage and give you some things that would be a blessing and a help in the marriage relationship. Tonight, we're going to do our best to just talk about children for a while, and a very, very important subject. And what I've entitled this tonight is just simply some things to remember. And we're going to talk about some things to remember when it comes to your children. I believe that we need to develop. I think you can tell by the church and the school and all its ministries that we do a lot of trying to help develop the children. We do not do all the developing. The parents are the one basically is going to raise the children. We understand that. We know that. But we sure can be a help. A church should be a help and be a blessing. We should come along and help strengthen the family home and all of these things. That's what God would have us to do. And through the teaching, preaching of the Bible, the Word of God, we certainly intend to do that. The church was never intended to take the place of the home. It was never intended to take the place of the father and mother of the home. Hopefully, we never try to do that. I don't ever have a desire to do that. I want the mother and father to rear up their children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. That's what God tells us to do. But He also gives us instructions on helping to teach and train. We have young people in Sunday school, and we get them for a little while, and we get them maybe for an hour in Sunday school or something like that, and in church services of a morning, and sometimes we don't get them back till next week. Well, we must do our best to help. As long as we've got them, we've got to do our best to help them and be a blessing to them while they're here. And then, of course, we've got other ones a little more than that. We get them on Sunday night. We get them on Wednesday night, you see, and we get them on master's clubs and all these youth meetings and all these things. And sometimes we get them in the school. We get them here on a five-day ministry here. We really have a six-day ministry, 5 days of school and 1 day here in the Sunday school area and church services. But that we have more of an opportunity then to try to train or help train some of the young folk. And so what I'm simply saying to you, I believe that if we're going to save this nation, I believe if we're going to do what needs to be done in this nation, we must develop young people. And we must train them. I believe that from the bottom of my heart. And, you know, from our youth revival, we can look and say, well, there's hope. I mean, and there is. There's hope. We've seen a lot of good things in our youth revival, but also we've seen good things down through every Sunday. We see some good things. See young people coming in from bus ministries and all these things and coming in and hearing, and you folk bringing your children into the house of God to be trained and helped through the Word of God. So that's a blessing, you see. And that's what we must do. I believe if we can, by training and helping getting some dedicated young people, I think we can solve a lot of tomorrow's problems. I'm convinced of that. And there is hope for America as long as there's young people who love the Lord and want to go on to serving and be a blessing to His work. I certainly do believe that. But I do believe that the home is the cornerstone of our society. I believe that. I believe that's where most of the training is going to go on. If we fail in the home, we're going to fail as a nation. Now, I believe that. Now, I know the church is so important. I know all of that. You see, our churches, you see, depend upon the quality and strength of the home. You see, you can say, okay, we'll bring them here and train them, folks. we don't have enough time to train them. Oh, and we can't do all the training. It's the quality and the strength of the home that's going to bring young people here where we can help develop them for the glory of God. And so I'm convinced that our churches, Blessed Hope Baptist Church, depends upon you to bring your young children here and bring them here wanting them, desiring to see them grow in the admonition and nurture of the Lord. You see, our churches tomorrow will be what we produce and how we train our young people today. Well, you better get a hold of that. We are training young people today for the future leadership of our churches, and that's what they're going to be. You mark it down. Now, you get a hold of that truth, because it's very, very important. We're sitting here in a church right now. We're going forward. We're seeing folks saved and doing some things. We need to do more, but we're doing some things. But, folks, what's going to depend? What's going to happen in the future? What is going to happen in the future? What is Blessed Hope going to be 20 years down the road if Jesus doesn't come back? Yeah, I believe He's coming back, but what if He doesn't come back? See, we don't know. We can't say He's coming back, so we just quit training. We can't do that. What is it going to be down the road? What's it going to be 30 years down the road? Well, it's going to be dependent upon what we do with our young people and how we train our young people, how we get them ready for the future leadership. Amen? So that's going to be very, very important, you see. And let me say to you, that basically is bound around the home. Okay? Just grab a hold of that. I mean, we could help, but it's bound around the home. And so that's the message tonight, just some things that I want you to remember. I believe something. I believe we're desperate in America of need of Bible-believing churches that will preach and apply the principles and precepts of God's Word. I believe that. We need churches in America. We need them all over America that has determined they're going to preach and practice the precepts of the Word of God. We need that, you see. Where are the leaders of the future going to come from? Remember something. God doesn't reach down and call people out from among worldly, cold, backslidden, sensuous, unscriptural, pleasure-mad Christian homes. He doesn't do that. He reaches down into homes that love God and are training their children in admonition and nurture of the Lord. He's reaching down into those homes and saying, I want you. I want you. I want to use you for the glory of God. Folks, so it's so important that we do it right in the home and then let the church help you in the training and continue to train these young people. You see, Satan is doing a very good job of killing missions. He's doing a very good job of killing churches starting. You know why? How he's doing it? He's killing the home. He's killing the place, the incubator of future preachers and missionaries and all kinds of servants of God. He's going into the home and he's destroying them right there. So again, I'm saying to you, oh, it's so important, folks. You may not understand it now. I don't know that I did. Really, did I wasn't saved until my youngest son, David. I believe he was 3 years old. And so I wasn't saved. I didn't have the privilege, I guess, of being able to set each one of them on my knee and tell them about Christ and have enough understanding in myself to know how to train them as I should have. I mean, I think they turned out all right. We praise God for that. But what I'm just simply saying is that it would have been much better if we could have had them early age and they'd been born into a family that knew Christ. That would have been better, you see, because we'd been able to take some of their earlier years and help and mold some things that we was not able to do because of our not being saved, not getting saved when we should have got saved. Amen. See, we should have been saved long years ago, but I wasn't, and neither was my wife. So what Satan does is he tries to come in and he tries to do his best to kill the home and destroy the home, the training ground, the place where God's going to reach down and get some fine folk to raise up to be leaders, future leaders, you see. So anyway, I want to give you some things tonight. If you look at verse number 4, he says, "And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord." I want to make a statement tonight, and I want you to listen to me. I want you, daddies, I want to say something to you. I believe with all of my heart you're the key to raising dedicated Christian children. Daddies, I believe, if you'll notice there in that verse of Scripture, God addresses the fathers. And he says, Father, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. I'm convinced daddies need to get involved in the raising of their children. I'm just convinced of that. I mean, they really need to get involved with the raising of the children. You see, I have an understanding. And if you go back to the book of Proverbs and other places, I believe it's God's plan. God knows a man cannot be in the home all the time. We've talked to you about this before. He can't be there. He's out working. He's got certain things he must do. But he must be in the leadership. He must be one that determines how those children are going to be raised. Now, I realize that much of the initial day-to-day work is going to be done by the mothers. I understand that. And I believe that's scriptural. That's the way it's going to happen. But daddies must take the initiative to say, this is the way our family is going to be raised. This is the direction of our family. And these are the instructions, Mom, that I'm giving you. Tell you how we're going to run our family. This is the way we're going to do it. And she should carry that out. But I don't believe you'll ever get it right until daddies get involved in the raising of the children. I think God puts that upon us. I believe God holds me responsible as the leadership of my home, the head of my home, for the way that my children turn out. He puts it on my head. Certainly, my wife has a tremendous, tremendous responsibility in the raising of our children. I realize that. I understand it. But I still think it goes back to the daddies. And God addresses the daddies. Get involved. If I can tell you anything, Daddy, get involved in the raising of your children, the direction of your children's lives. Now, you can't be there all the time. Mama's got to take care of something. We know that. Mama's got to do her part. She can't just turn it off over to you. I understand all that. But you must set some standards. You must be involved in it. You must be a part of it. Because God puts such a responsibility on we daddies. Amen. Now, daddies, do you get that? You understand that? You realize, you see, because that's scriptural, you see. And if we're going to have obedient children, we must begin at a very early age, soon, very soon in their life. Now, I believe that's why I mentioned a while ago, I wish I could have set each one of my children on my lap and when they was born and said, your daddy is a Christian. Now, I wish I had. I mean, I'm not going back and saying, oh my, that's terrible. But I'm just simply saying, I wish that I could have done that. And said, your daddy and your mama is a Christian, and I want to teach you some things from word go. I want to tell you some things that will help you, even when they was a little baby, if you whisper in their ear and tell them about Jesus and talk to them, and sweet talks about the Lord, and those things are important, whether we understand it or not. They need to hear the word of God. They need to hear Jesus talked about in the home. Now, they need to hear that. Even as a little baby, they need to hear those precious words, that wonderful name, Jesus Christ. So again, I'm just simply saying, start it early. Don't you wait till they're 2 or 3 years old to begin to try to discipline them. It doesn't work. You've got to start as a little baby. You've got to do it as their age is, but you've got to start as a little baby to begin to train them, you see, in the proper ways. You know what we've done down through the years, when a baby gets born, he gets into the home and he gets to be a little toddler, and instead of making him mine, we put up things out of their reach. It's a mistake. It really is a mistake. No, don't put up things out of their reach. Teach them not to touch them. You see, that begins a part of the training of their life. When you put those things up, you're taking that temptation away. And what I'm saying is they haven't learned anything. They know it's way up there. They can't get to it. But boy, if they could get to it, they'd get it. But if you would just train them and teach them, no, you can't get to that. That's where early training begins. If we could just understand that the importance of that, because it's going to take a lot of frustrations out of their life when they get older. And it'll take a lot of frustration. Boy, train them early, young folk. You that's got newborn babies and not too old back here, listen to your preacher tonight and train them early. I know it's hard. Those things, those little sweethearts are so sweet, and you don't want to smack their hand, but go ahead and smack their hand. It's okay. They will not die. It'll be all right. They'll live through it. Now, they'll give you one of those old smoochy cries and get all pushed up and you've just about destroyed them and they're going to cry and do all. But that's all right. Let them cry. Don't be fearful of their crying. It's all right. Amen. What I'm simply saying is do it early. Start early in the life and do it early so you'll be a blessing to your children. and a help to them. Now I want to give you some things to remember. I want you to remember something about your children. I want you to remember that your child's worth does not lie in his good looks or his natural abilities. Now listen to me, this is important. You see, too many times we look at a little child, we see that sweet little child, that sweet, sweet baby, and you think he's the most important person in the world. Well, he is important to you. But his worth is not in his good looks or his abilities of life. That is not what makes him worthwhile. You may enjoy that, and you may be glad for that, but let me say to you, every child, we have four children, and I look back, and it's fun. It really is fun to be a grandpa. I'm just telling you right now. I enjoy being grandpa. Now, I really do enjoy it. I wish I was as smart back then as I am now when it comes to children. And you're probably not as smart as you ought to be either, but I really enjoy being a grandpa. But I love to watch all of them, not only my grandchildren, I love to watch my children since they've got older. I like to see them mature. I like to see them growing in the Lord. I like to see them coming closer to the Lord and God doing things in their life. I enjoy that. I do not expect every single one of my children to be the same. They're all different. Every single one of them is different. Let me say to you, if you've got four children or five children, they're all going to be different. And they have different things about them. But I really enjoy watching the lives of our children and their families and watch them grow in the Lord and see what God does in their life. I really do enjoy that. I'm just simply saying to you, every single one of my children, all four of my children, my wife and I talk about this, are very, very important to us. And each one of them has different qualities and different abilities. Each one of them is different. Every single one of them is. I don't expect them to be anything else. I expect them to be what God has made them. But I want to tell you, it's an enjoyable thing to watch your children grow up and just see God working and moving and doing things in their life. And sometimes they're difficult things. Very hard, difficult things that God puts into their life. But let me say to you, it's okay. You know, we cry along with them in private. We cry along with them. But let me say to you, it is okay if God does those things because he's molding their lives. And we trust that he'll do it for his glory. What, you know as well as I do that works doesn't determine God's love for us. If he did, I don't know, I suppose maybe 99% or maybe all 100% would be in trouble in here today. If our works determine God's love for us, I don't know. I'd be in trouble. But my works does not determine God's love for me. Now, he wants me to work. Sure, he does. He wants me to do things, but that's not how he determines whether he loves me or not. And let me say to you, the works of my children, and I believe it's the same for yours, does not determine your love for them. You love them because they're your children. And well, you should. That's a right and proper thing you see to do. I know faith is what pleases God. And I know also that if I live in faith, faith will produce works. I know faith brings about works. I don't know whether you ever thought about that or not, but your faith in God brings about you doing things for God, doing things right, because faith just absolutely produces those things. I like what John said in 3 John. He talked about he has no greater joy than to hear that his children walk in truth. That is the greatest joy, folks. Children out here, young people, can I say something to you? You know that's one of the greatest things you can give your mom and daddy. Just walk in truth. Boy, just walk in truth. There's no greater joy in all the world. I'm serious about that. There's no greater joy in all the world. Just see your young children, your children walking in truth, doing right. That's one of the greatest blessings there ever is. And you moms and dads out there that's got some children, you'll agree with me. You know that. You know that's right. And you see them walking in truth. That's a blessing you see. There's no greater joy than that, you see. So just remember, his worth is not determined by good looks or good works or any of these other things. He's worth something because he's a child of God. An occupation that one of your children does is not what determines the worth of that child. It's all right if a person is a doctor. That's all right. And be all right if he's maybe a lawyer, but I don't know. But anyway, maybe it'd be all right if he was a lawyer. But maybe, you know, it's all right if he's a preacher, but that does not determine the worth of that child. Occupation does not determine the worth of a child. It's a wonderful thing. We rejoice over our children when they succeed and when they do things. And I've got a preacher son. I'm glad I've got a preacher son. But I'm also glad I've got two other sons. I'm also glad I've got a daughter. And they're just as worth in the eyes of God as much as the preacher son is. In God's eyes. Sure they are. Sure they are. So that doesn't determine the worth. Your children is not determined. The worth of your children is not determined on what they do. Well, you get a hold of that because that's what the world wants you to believe. That's why such a stress is put on education, the wrong kind of education. Nothing wrong with education. But folks, the stress is put on education. You get this great education so you can be something. Well, I'd rather you be somebody than to be something. I'd rather you be something, somebody that belongs to the Lord and loves the Lord and a child of God, an obedient child of God. That's what I'd rather you be than all these other things that you can be, you see. Now, I remember, I had a flashback. I remember about where Brother Stout is sitting back there. There, years and years ago, I walked in and there was a lady there that had been coming to our church. And if many of you remember her, she was Mrs. Casey. I think her name was Clark. I think as a member at that point, her name was Clark, as I remember. But I walked down to her and said hi, said good morning, to her, and she was so proud. Here was sitting old Waldo, which was her son, sitting beside her. Now most of you remember Waldo. He was one of these guys that I don't know how to describe him, but just boy, I'm trying to be careful what I say. But he might have not just had it all together. Is that okay? Does that sound all right? Waldo was like that, and he was just Waldo. And you know, though, Mrs. Casey, his mother, said, "This is my son." She just put her arm over, "This is my son." And Waldo just grinned like this. But you know, she was just as proud of her son Waldo as you and I was of her, of ours. I'll never forget that. It made such an impression on my life because I looked and I thought, yes, sir, you know, she's just as proud of Waldo as anybody in here is proud of theirs. And that's the way it should be. Amen. And he was a grown man at the time. He had a family and all these things, you know. But I just remembered that. I just thought, you know, that's a wonderful thing. You see, the worth is not on what he is or how much he can do and all the abilities that he has, but the worth is upon the fact that he basically, if he's your child and he's a child of God, no matter what his occupation is, he's worth a lot. If he's your child, period, he's worth a lot. But he's a child of God. Oh, my, what a blessing that is. Amen. You know, pretty babies usually get the attention. I know Sister Clay tells me all the time, said, all babies are not pretty. We kind of have a running thing about that. We talk about that. She says, all babies are not pretty. I say, all babies are pretty, Sister Clay. All babies are pretty, you know. We just kind of run around about that thing, you know. But you find a pretty baby, they get all the attention, you know, and all that. Oh, look at that cute little thing, you know, how cute they are, you know. And what happens is pretty and athletic and some of these things like that is what determines whether they're going to win a popularity contest or not. Boy, that's bad. That's not the worth of a child. You see, what we do is we're proud of our children because, boy, they read well. And listen to me. The things that I'm going to mention, there's nothing wrong with being proud of your child because they read well. But you be proud of your child if they don't read well. You understand? You may want to work with them and help them to read better, but you be proud of that child even if he doesn't read as good as sister. Listen to you. I want you to listen to me. I want you to hear me well. Many, many times children are just squashed because another sibling in the family is always looked up to and always lifted up and the other one is always pushed down. I want to tell you right now, I want you to listen to me. Every single one is just as important as the other. And if them reading well is what gives them their worth, there's some problem somewhere. Hear me? Now, sure, be proud of them because they read well, but use it and handle it very, very careful. We're proud of our kids when they run fast, when they can win a race. Boy, yay, amen. But you know, all kids can't run fast. Everybody can't be like some of these star athletes. Thank God. I'm just simply saying, we get proud of them because they can do this and they can do that. Some people, we're proud of them because they can sing well. Now listen to me. I think it's wonderful if they sing well. That's okay. And I'm glad for them if they've got a pretty voice. God gave them a pretty voice, and thank God for that. But folks, that's not why we should we can consider why they're worthwhile. It's not these outward little things that make them worthwhile. God made every single one of these children a little different, give them all little different abilities, and all of them's not going to be able to run fast. Some of them's not going to have very good coordination. Some of them's not going to be able to do what others can do. Some of them's not going to be able to sing out and really sing like others can sing. They're not going to be able to do that, but they're still worthwhile. They're as important to God as the other one that can sing well. Don't let that be the gauge that you gauge your children by, because they can do this well and that well. Oh, remember, they're your child. And they're very precious in the eyes of the Lord, you see. And we have a tendency to do that, and we really do. The whole world tends to say, if you can go out and you can play a sport and you can be like one of the main stars somewhere, you are really important. But that's not what God says. Amen. That's one of the difficulties in the sports field, folks. I'm serious about this. There's a difficulty there, and it's causing all kinds of havoc in America, because we're all wanting to be like Mike or be like somebody else. And folks, let me tell you, that's bad business, because your child's not going to be like Mike. Thank God. Thank God. That's not what makes them worthwhile. You say, I know, but they'd make a lot of money. Oh, don't say that, because listen to me, folks, that'll probably be ruination to them. No, I'd rather them be poor than all that money and living for the world. I'm saying to you, get the things that are correct, the things that are right, the important things in your children's life. Let that be what determines their worth. Amen? You know, even in some of our fairy tale stories, you know, Cinderella was important because she was beautiful. Did you ever think about why the sisters was mean? Do you remember what they was? They was ugly. So what it says is, if you're ugly, you're mean. If you're pretty, you're all right. You see what the world does to us? You see, that's not true. In the first place, I have a little trouble understanding the word ugly anyway. Maybe not when I was a child, but I don't believe there is any ugly people. I really don't. They're all people. Some people are different. They look a little different. Maybe they're not have the pretty features that some other ones have, but they're not ugly. God didn't make it. He didn't produce any bad materials. Amen. Everything God made is okay. Everything. Everybody that God made. So we've got to be careful with this kind of a thought in our mind, because what happens is ugly pretty soon means untalented. And ugly or untalented means you're no good. Folks, they don't have to have all the abilities in the world to make them good. Let me tell you, some of the most beautiful people that I've seen in my life is not those who had the beautiful features. Hollywood's full of them. Beauty comes from within. Young people, you remember that. Beauty comes from within. You don't have you just be glad how God made you. However God made you, it's all right. You become beautiful from within, and you'll be more important than, let me say this, you'll be more of worth than those who out in Hollywood who thinks they're so beautiful. We need to remember where the worth of a child is, you see. We think about some of these bus children that come in, and I'm just thrilled with bus kids. For some reason, as I get older, I've become to love children more. I don't know why, but I do. I tell you, children are such a part of my life. I watch them all the time. I love to watch children. I love to see them. It puts a smile on my face. I love to watch children grow, and they just do things. Sometimes it's dumb things, but I like to see them do dumb things. I mean, I just really enjoy it. And I just watch children on the street, and Donna and I will talk about, oh, look there, look at that little sweet baby there. Look at that little sweet child. It's just something about it, you know. You don't look at them because they're sweet, because they're beautiful. They're just precious. In the eyes of God, they're just very special, you see. And so we've got to We've got to remember that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. He didn't say, I love the beautiful ones. He didn't say, I love the handsome ones. He didn't say, I love the athletic person. He said he loved the world. And he loved them whether the world would consider them with not the very best of features. He loves them if they're lame. He loves them if they're uncoordinated. He loves them if they have a mental problem. He loves them if they're poor. It don't make a difference. He loves them. God loves them, and we ought to love them too. Amen? So we must never forget, you see, a child's worth is who he is, not what he is. You see, a child is your child, your son or daughter. Now, another thing, a child does not know all the things that you know. These are just some things I want you to remember. A child don't know what you know, folks. Boy, you need to remember that. Children learn what they are taught. And they're just little children growing up. They don't know everything that you know. I'm kind of glad they don't. Seriously, boy, I'm glad they don't. You know, but they're growing up and they're trying to be mature. I watch this. I see this. And I see young ladies. They get into around 12 and somewhere in that area. And I don't know what, maybe there's not a certain age on it. But they begin to kind of transfer and try to be an adult, trying to grow into womanhood. That's difficult. And they need help. And I see young boys growing up and they get a certain age and they're trying to be a man like God intends for them to be one of these days. And they don't know all the problems that they're going to face, you see. They don't know all of those things that they're going to have to fight against. And they don't know that, but we do. We know it. We know what's coming in their life. And we're trying to be a blessing and a help to them. But folks, remember something. They don't know all you know. They're not going to naturally just do right. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. They're not just naturally going to do everything right. They're not going to do it. That's unnatural, as they say. You know why? Because they're learning. They're growing. Amen? And it takes time for them to learn and grow. They're going to make some mistakes, folks. They're going to blow it. Now, I don't mean they have to blow it big time. I'm just simply saying they're going to grow up. You know they are. They're going to throw balls through glass windows. And can't understand why they didn't. You know, we adults would have went farther away from the house where we wouldn't have done that. But they don't think about those things. I know about that. They didn't think a thing about it. I wondered why they didn't go on out there farther. I mean, they shoot BBs toward a house and hit a window. Yes, they do. I know they do. Yes, sir. You know, it's not right, but they do things like that. And, you know, you'd think they'd have sense enough. They was down in the pasture. You'd think they'd have sense enough to not shoot toward the house, wouldn't you? Amen. I'll tell you. It wasn't him. That's why he said amen. But anyway, you'd think they'd have sense enough to know some of these things. But folks, they don't think like you think. They don't think like adults. And you've got to understand that. I'm not saying let them get by with wrong things. I'm saying you've got to understand they're not adults yet. They're not going to be like you and I when we get older and we think more about things and give thought more to things before we act. Sometimes we do anyway. You understand what I'm saying? You've got to remember that. You see, we should not expect them to act like adults. We should train them. Now that's what's got to be done. They've got to be trained. They've got to be helped. Amen? I haven't seen Bobby. Oh, I forgot. I shouldn't have told that. But I haven't seen Bobby shooting at any windows lately. I don't think he's done that. He learned. With a little bit of persuasion, he learned. Amen. I haven't saw Jerry throwing darts up in the air and letting it come down on whose head was it? Oh, it was his head, wasn't it? That was his head. Who was it that done it? We know. Jerry threw it. Come down on his own head. That was dumb, Jerry. I mean, can I tell you more? I mean, that takes a lot of brains to... You know, let it come down your hand.
But Jerry outgrew that. We trained him. But you got to train them. You got to help them. I mean, let me tell you something. When these was growing up, every single summer, two or three trips to the emergency room. You can understand. Yeah. Lori rammed her fist through a window, went running after something, went right through the front door in a glass. Oh, David. Never ending story. Amen. But you know what? It's fun now. But it wasn't fun then. It wasn't fun then, folks. I'm just simply saying this. They have to be trained. Don't expect them to act like adults. Now, help us in that, in all seriousness. You look at your little sweet children. You look at them sometimes. You think, well, that's a dumb thing to do. Why did you do it? Well, they're growing up. They're trying to learn. And yes, they do pull some dummies sometimes. Sometimes they shouldn't do this, and they got to be corrected for it, and got to be helped through it. Yes, they do have to do that. That's part of the discipline. That's all part of it. But they're not adults. They're just not adults. I don't want you to let them get by with foolishness. I don't want you to do that. But you got to remember, they're not adults. They're growing up. They're learning. They're being trained, and it takes a lot of patience and training. To get that taken care of. Would you remember also the pressures that they face today in today's world? Now, I'm not saying that we back in our world did not face pressures. I know we did. We had certain kind of pressures that we faced also. But will you look around this old world and recognize the pressures that are on our young people today? And the temptations and the people that's with their hand out beckoning them to come, enticing them to come, and to do what they're doing. The pressures are theirs, what I'm saying. You and I need to remember. Their bodies are changing. They're growing up. And the peers around them many times have such an effect upon their lives. Think back a moment. Think back a moment and remember. When you was a 10-year-old, 12-year-old, 15-year-old, and remember the pressures and remember the changing in life that you was going through. And remember, they're going through those same things, probably more intensified now than ever before. You say, Brother Ross, does that mean we got to be more lenient? No, you don't be more lenient. You train them, you help them, you discipline them, you do what, but you be there for them to help them do that. You see, they need your help. They're not adults. So we have to be very, very careful, you see. Not only that, let me encourage you to do something. See, I've learned, and it's helped me, but I've learned from my mistakes. And you do that. And what I'm trying to do is help you, and I know you'll make mistakes, but I'm trying to help you not to make them, and trying to help you to face some things that will help you to raise your children where you won't do as other people have done. We need to get back to the Bible. That's why I said over and over, if I'd known the Bible when I was raising my children, it would have been such a big help. But listen to me. One of the things I want you to do, listen to your children. Don't always shut them up. Listen to them. Give them a chance to talk and to give their view of something. That doesn't mean you have to do what they say, but listen to them. Hear them out. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings thou hast perfected praise. Just listen to them. Doesn't mean that you have to listen and say, well, that's what we'll do because you said it. That's not what I'm saying. But I'm saying, will you listen to their point of view? Because they're looking at it completely from a whole different world. They're looking at it from a world of what they're growing up in. And they've got all these feelings and things inside that they don't know what to do with. They don't understand as you understand. You understand the temptations, the problems that they're going to face. They do not understand all those. So at least be willing to just simply listen to them. Hear them out. Not only that, realize they need a model to follow. You know, in just about anything that people make, I know I make a little furniture. I enjoy making a little furniture for my wife. That's why I enjoy doing it, do it for her. But you know how I know how to make a furniture? I go out and I look at something that's made. I don't buy a pattern, but I look at something. I get ideas from what somebody else has made. I just look it over. I usually don't measure it. I don't usually do anything like that, but I look it over and I think that's a pretty good idea on that. I come back, put it together, and do what I feel like I want to do. Do you know just about everything in life is made from some kind of a pattern? And children are looking for a pattern. Children are looking for an example to say, this is how I should do it. This is what I ought to do, you see. They're looking for some consistency, a consistent example. And you know what? They don't care if you fail. You may think they do, but they don't care if you fail. You know what's the best thing to do if parent is, if he fails? Just say, I blew it. I'm sorry. I did this wrong. And son, I'm going to try to help you. Your dad failed. You ought to do it this way, and I failed, and I'm sorry, and ask for forgiveness. Go on. But they're looking for something that is consistent. I mean, you may not be perfect. You may not do it, but you be consistent in your example, because your children is looking for that. When they see inconsistency, that really poses a problem in their life. They want to see you the same. They want to see you the same at home as you are at church. Oh, yeah, they do. That's hypocrites is not the same at home as they are at church. We're supposed to be the same at church, same at home as we are at church. Why change? We may dress a little different. We may put on different type of clothing and come to church, but we should be the same person at home as we are in church. And when children see this inconsistency, that really poses a problem for them. You see, they need to see it in the words you say, and they need to see it in the deeds you do. Say, what if I blow it? Just what I told you a while ago. You ask for forgiveness and go on. You're not going to be a perfect parent. But they need to see your consistency, that this is the way you live. This is what you do. They need an example, you see, to look to. One of the things I might share with you, Bertram Brown was the past director of the National Institute of Mental Health, and he said this. I usually don't go much on mental health, but they said this, something very, very important. Said, seeds of drug abuse can be sown very early. And what the idea was is you've got to be careful, folks. Listen up. I take some medicine, and you probably may too. But you be careful how much dependence you put on that medicine. You be careful when you take that medicine. It would be better if you took it in private. You may have to take medicine, and that's okay if you have require that. That's fine. But you ought to probably take it in private. Don't let your children seeing you downing medicine all the time. Don't see your children seeing you take some medicine and then say, oh, I feel so much better. Whew. You know what that says to them? Man, if I'll take some drugs or I'll take this, right, I'll feel good. You see, that's sowing very early in people's lives. You got to be very careful about that. You don't want to let them see you run into the aspirin bottle every time you get a problem, or tranquilizers so that you can sleep, or some kind of other medication, because that can turn into alcohol and other things. And they see all of that and they said, oh, if I take this, I'll feel better. And then we've got kids out here that's on drugs. I know that's not the only reason they're on drugs, but moms and dads can be such a help if they'll be careful about those things. So you be very careful. They're following a model. You see, what they are, and I've told you this before, I don't have time to elaborate, but they are learning how to run their home. In fact, they're learning how to depend on God by your actions, by your faith. You are teaching them every day of your life. You're teaching them. Do we trust God in our family? Do we have faith, and is that what we depend upon, is God? Well, your children see this in your lives, you see. Do I depend on drugs to help me feel better? So they say, okay, I need drugs to help me feel better. What I'm saying is you're setting an example in your life for those precious children, you see. And so when we do, though, but let's go back now to this discipline just for a few moments. We must train, we must discipline our children. That is absolutely necessary because it's Bible. It's like we said this morning, if the Bible says it, that's what you do. You must train, you must discipline your children. But the discipline is for the purpose of correcting them. It's not for the purpose of getting back at them. For making your life miserable. Amen. It should be for the purpose of correcting them so they'll be better servants of the Lord. Discipline's a very part of it, a wonderful part, an important part of a child's life. But mom and dad, you got to be careful how you discipline. You've got to make sure that you're not doing it just to show your anger and frustration in your life. I've come to believe something. I've come a long time ago to believe that. I don't know how you practice it, but it's. Let me say something. It isn't do you any good to yell at your children. You should teach your children to react by your normally speaking to them. You may speak to them firmly, but screaming and yelling at a child will never work. Never will. Never will. Believe me, never will. But speaking to them and firmly speaking to them and talking to them and telling them what you expect is right and proper. But this yelling don't get it. All you're going to do is you're just going to cause some problems. I mean, some serious. They're going to get where they're not going to listen to your yelling. Understand me? I'm just simply saying, folks, these are some things, if you'll just listen, it'll help you. And learn your children. Learn to know that every single one of your children are different. I mentioned that earlier, but every one of them are different. You've got to learn to deal with them in a way that is right for that child. I'm not saying you let one get by and another not. I'm not saying it. But you've got to understand. We grew up and one of our children, well, basically two of our children, were basically, you did not have to speak to them. If you spoke to them very firmly, tears would bust out. That's all you had to do. The other two children, you had to apply some other things. That did not make them bad. It's the way they were. What I'm simply saying to you, children are different. Amen? Learn that in your children's lives. Now, as you raise your children, don't disapprove of your child. Disapprove of what the child has done. This is very, very important. Don't say, well, you dumb kid. But you might say, you know what, that thing that you did this one time was kind of dumb. The act that you did was a wrong act. There's a difference in having a dumb child and the child do a dumb thing. There's a big difference. Because just because an individual, just because a child does something wrong does not make them bad. In fact, let me say to you, you should never call your children, you're a bad boy, you're a bad girl. No, no, no. The things they do may not be good, but they are not bad. And they need to understand that. You see, you're putting something on them that they're going to carry for the rest of their life. They're going to grow up remembering, I'm bad. I'm just bad, you see. So be careful. You know what happens is this. And be careful with it, moms. Right before dad gets home, that child has been I don't want to use the word angel. But he's been pretty good most of the day. And right the time about before dad gets home, he pulls some goodies. And as soon as dad gets in the house, mom says, "Whoa, you can't believe this kid. Whoa, look what he did." And dad says, "Oh my goodness, what do I got to do now? You know, I'm going to kill this kid. What'd he do?" Well, he'd been good all day. But just before dad come home, he had pulled a goodie. So the kid has been bad all day long. Folks, you got to be careful of that. You got to remember there's good things they do. You got to remember they wasn't bad all day long. Understand? You've got to understand, folks. You've got to deal with your children in a correct and proper way. Don't be down on them all the time. Correct what needs to be corrected in their life, but don't be down on them. They're not bad. They do some bad things sometimes, but they're not bad. Their children needs trained. And that's what they need, is training and help from mom and dad to train them on a daily basis of how they ought to act and the things that they ought to do. Praise these good actions as well as these things that he's wrong, that has done wrong, that you have to deal with, but praise his good actions. Praise the good things. You know, I can remember, I'm going to deal with you, but I can still remember some things that Dad said good about me back when, and it's been probably 50 years ago. I'm 60 years old. Back when I was 10, 11 years old, I can still remember some things in my mind that Dad bragged on about me. He just said, son, that was good. I'm glad you did that. He didn't make no big deal out of it, but he said that was good. I can still remember some of those things. What I'm saying is, you don't want to just always go and down the bad things. And let me tell you, there was that side of it too. But you want to know the truth? I don't remember much about them. I remember a spanking I got that I'll never forget. I can still feel it. I really believe I can sometimes. I think about it and I think I can still feel it. But he had a right to spank me. He had a right to do so. And I can remember some. But you know, that don't make much difference to me anymore. I know he loved me, and I know he was trying to train me to do right. It was important to him that we had a good name. It was important to him that we lived up to our name, and that we done right. It was important to him. And I believe that is important. Discuss things with your children, but don't let them make the final decision. Folks, listen to me. Your children are not put in your home to be the ruler of the home or the head of the home. You are. You say, Brother Ross, and I know, listen to me, I know as they grow, there's certain things you have to let them help start making decisions, but never if it's a wrong decision. You don't say, oh, well, go ahead, make your wrong decision, go ahead and do what you want to do. No, 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 that's where parents step in and say that's wrong, and you're not going to do it. Amen? You'll help, you'll save yourself a lot of problems if you'll step in and make these decisions. You're the parents. You're the ones that God has put in that home. You are to make those decisions. You're to help your children, you see, grow up in the admonition of the Lord. You and I are the ones that God's going to hold accountable. Okay? So discuss things with your children, but you make the final decisions. Correct them swiftly and reasonably. Do it swiftly. Don't let it go by. What I'm saying to you simply is this. When you need to correct your child, don't do it in anger. If you're angry, wait. But take care of it very swiftly. Get it behind them. And then it could all be wiped out. Things can be taken care of, you see. Let me say another thing to you. Throw out rules that you are unwilling to enforce. If you're unwilling to enforce a rule, throw the thing out. Because it does more harm than it does good. You tell your children, this is a rule in our house, and you don't enforce that rule, you might as well throw it out because it's doing more harm than it is good. Don't nag at them. Children don't like to be nagged at. They don't need to be nagged at. Don't nag at them. If you need to correct them straight, swiftly. Do it how it needs to be done, whatever needs to be corrected, but don't sit around and nag at them all the time. Get it behind you. Give answers to them. There's times when they deserve answers. There's times when you say, son, you're just going to have to trust me. I know this is right, and that's the way I'm going to do. But on the other hand, give answers to them. Help them. Give responsibilities to them according to their ability. Don't expect a little 3-year-old child to be able to do the things a 15-year-old child can do. Give according to their ability. Be honest with them. Be consistent. And love them. And above all, love them. And train them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Those are just some things that I'd like for you to remember. Your children is the most wonderful, precious thing that God has given you after your salvation. They're precious. They're wonderful. And God expects you and I to train them up in the admonition or the nurture and admonition of the Lord. God expects us to do that. Hopefully, just a few of those things tonight will be a help to you. Put them into practice. Remember, God gave them to you as a heritage. And he wants you to turn them out for the glory of God. John R. Rice said, someone asked him, he said, how do you know that they'll turn out right? He said, because I'm going to turn them out. Because I'm going to turn them out. That's what God expects us to do. Turn them out. Amen. Let's pray. Father, again, I thank you today for the wonderful Bible, the Word of God, and thank you for your goodness and kindness to us. And thank you, Father, for who you are and how great and wonderful you are. And Lord, this great responsibility you put upon families, Lord, to rear up their children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. What a responsibility it is. But Lord, you've not left us alone. You told us you'd tell us how to do it. You'd be there with us to help us. So we pray for families tonight, Lord. God, help them. Help them, Lord, as they meet everyday responsibilities and as they train their children for you. And we'll ask you to do that in the name of Jesus. Amen.